Hey, good morning all. My name is John Mesko, and I'm replacing Rob Parlante, our pastor, at least for today. And I want to wish them a happy anniversary, Laura and Rob. We are at Grace Christian Church of Monmouth County. Now, the title of today's message is, You Are an Ambassador. Now, you can find this on NewJerseyNJGrace.org. That's our website. And we're coming to you live from Monmouth Battlefield State Park, located at 16 New Jersey, Route 33 West in Manalapan Township, New Jersey. And it's the Business 33, not the bypass, just in case you want to visit us one Sunday. Matter of fact, our next larger event, I believe, is June 13th. That's our church picnic, and we'll be having a service at 10:30 here, and immediately following, we have a picnic barbecue. So we're inviting everybody to come down and visit with us, get some good food and good fellowship. So we also want to invite you to our Wednesday night prayer meeting on Zoom. We have a Zoom meeting every Wednesday at 7:30. You're welcome to join us. You can find that Zoom link on our website, njgrace.org. And we also have a Facebook page called Christ is Our Life Movement. And we have daily devotionals on Christ being our life and grace. So you're all invited to those different events. So let me ask you, what comes to mind when you hear the word ambassador? I mean, you may know of ambassadors in the past, U.S. ambassadors to other countries and so on. For me, it's Shirley Temple. Why Shirley Temple? Well, I guess I'm old enough to know who Shirley Temple is. I guess if you're 50 years old or less, you may not know. Now, she was born in 1928, and she recently passed away, more recently, I guess, 2014, at the age of 85. Now, Shirley Temple was a childhood star, okay, and she really ruled the roost for a number of years from 1934 to 38. Now, don't think that I'm that old, because I'm not, but back in the 70s and 60s, in the 60s, we didn't have Hulu and YouTube and all these other different platforms that we have today. Netflix, we didn't have Netflix, okay? We went to Blockbuster in the 70s, okay? But anyway, so in the 60s, we had channel 2, 4, 7, 2, 4, 5, 7, 9, and 11. That's about it, I guess. And they used to play older movies, black and white movies like Laurel and Hardy and Shirley Temple, okay? And so we would watch those on the weekend. I remember always Sunday watching the Bowery Boys. Remember those guys? And I really enjoyed watching Slip Mahoney and those guys. But anyway, but Shirley Temple was a childhood star, like I said, an actress. She was the number one box office draw from 34 to 38. But I also remember her as being an ambassador, United States ambassador. Now, she was an ambassador to the country of Ghana in West Africa and later on in Czechoslovakia. So she was, I don't know if it's a nomination, she was awarded that privilege, that position by various presidents. I know it started with, I guess, with Gerald Ford and Nixon and Bush. So she was an ambassador. Now, again, I said, you are an ambassador also. Let me explain. The Oxford Dictionary, by the way, states that an ambassador is an accredited diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. Another definition is a person who acts like a representative or promoter of a specific activity, such as you might say that he or she is a good ambassador for that industry. So, Rob Parlante, our pastor, happens to be in the window business, okay? He's a executive at Anderson Window. And, I would say that that he's probably an ambassador for the window industry, a good ambassador, okay? I happen to be a public adjuster in 21 states, and I'm an ambassador for that industry in those states, okay? So I represent and I advocate on behalf of people, you know, that in that industry that have damage, okay? So I am an ambassador, I guess, for that industry, you could say. 2 Corinthians 5:20, I suppose is our key verse here. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. That's 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 20. So let me open in prayer now. Lord God, we just thank you for this opportunity to be here today in this lovely state park, Monmouth Battlefield. And it truly is a privilege to be able to bring this message to you, to all you out there on Facebook, on Zoom, and in person here. So I just pray that you, Lord, bless this message today and allow your spirit to work through me and through and to others. And I just thank you and praise you for that. In Christ's name, amen. Okay, so as an ambassador for Christ, it puts us in a position to speak as though God is speaking or presenting through us, okay? Ephesians 6:20 is another passage where the scripture talks about an ambassador. Paul is speaking here, Paul the Apostle. He says, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in proclaiming it, I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So Paul's saying he was an ambassador in chains. He was in jail, writing the book of Romans, I believe, at the time. And anyway, Paul was in prison at the time, but he said he was still an ambassador. Three key words I want you to pick up here as I'm speaking are ambassador, ministry, and or minister and advocate. So if you're a believer, you're a minister of the gospel on behalf of Christ, who commissioned us as ambassadors. And we now have the ministry of reconciliation. That's what we do. That's our job. We're ministers of reconciliation, reconciling the world to God. In other words, we're a representative of Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and the Savior of the world. The word minister, I guess another word for that would mean to serve. Now, I'll give you a little tip. If you have to visit somebody in the hospital, I usually carry my Bible with me here. I carry my Bible. And I go in at any hour. I visited people in the hospital at 1 a.m. and I carry my Bible and they ask me who I am. I tell the person at the desk that I'm a minister. Because we're all ministers, right? And they have no problem with letting me in. But I remember in the past, maybe prior to being a Christian, trying to get in the hospital after 8:02 or 8 o'clock in the evening, and they wouldn't let me in, okay? Now we have the privilege of being able to go in and visit folks in the hospital at any time. So just a little tip, okay? Bring your Bible. If you're a Christian, you're a minister, okay? I ordain you as a minister, okay? So this message that I'm presenting to you, I see it as a message of encouragement. I like to be encouraged, okay? And I hope this is going to be encouraging to you. Now there's a bee over here. We have to deal with that out here. So as we bring this to you, I want to reiterate that we are ambassadors. You are an ambassador with the ministry of reconciliation. And we also advocate on behalf of God through Christ Jesus who indwells us. So we're ambassadors, we're ministers, and we're advocates. That's who you are, okay? Now, how does this all take place? What is that all about? I'm gonna read a passage of scripture that accompanies that 2 Corinthians 5:20. Let me start with 2 Corinthians 1 through 9. This is Paul writing. We know that if the earthly tent, which is this, our bodies, which is our home, is torn down, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For indeed, in this house, we groan, longing to be clothed with our dwelling from heaven. And our dwelling from heaven, being clothed is, I guess, speaking of our spirit, okay? That's our spirit, okay? And we have a spiritual body. We also have a physical body, of course, and we also have our soul, which is our mind, will, and emotions, okay? So we have a human being, an individual is made up of a body, soul, and spirit. Your physical body, your soul being your mind, will, and emotions, and your spirit. Inasmuch as we, having put it on, will not be found naked. Indeed, while we are in this tent, we groan, being burdened, because we do not want to be unclothed, so that what is mortal will be swallowed up by life. You know, there's a lot of scripture that talks about Christ, you know, giving us new life. If anyone's in Christ, we're new creatures, right? Old things pass away, behold, all things are made new. That's 2 Corinthians 5:17. He gives us the power to become children of God. He gives us new life when we receive Christ, okay? Ephesians 1:13 talks about the Spirit as well. It says that we've been sealed in Him with this Holy Spirit of promise. So that's the guarantee. That's the guarantee we have of our eternity. We're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise. Okay, we're given the Holy Spirit. Now, He who prepared us for this very purpose is God, who gave us the Spirit as a pledge. Like I said, the Spirit is given to us as a guarantee of what our future holds for us, what eternity holds for us, okay? We are, the scripture says that our spirit bears witness with His spirit that we're children of God. So if you're really a child of God, if you're born again, okay, if you're a Christian, He gives us that spirit at the point of conversion. And that spirit bears witness with our spirit. The Holy Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. We have that affirmation and confirmation. So these passages speak of the body, the soul, and the spirit. Verse 6, therefore, being always of good courage and knowing that while we are at home in the body, we are absent from the Lord. For we walk by faith, not by sight. We are of good courage, I say, and prefer rather to be absent from the body and to be at home with the Lord. Therefore, we also have our ambition, whether at home or absent, to be pleasing to Him. So, to walk in by faith and not by sight, I know that can be a difficult process, okay? But that is the process of sanctification, okay? Learning how to walk by the Spirit and not by sight, or by faith and not by sight. And again, that is walking by the Spirit. It's Christ-centered living, basically, and we talk about that a lot. Our Grace Christian Church, we advocate living by the Spirit and Christ-centered living. Let's jump down to verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we recognize no one according to the flesh, even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know Him in this way no longer. So, Paul's saying that we don't recognize people by the flesh, or we don't attribute those characteristics to the flesh, but we're looking at the Spirit. We want to look through people and understand, try to understand the heart of that person. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creature. The old things are passed away. Behold, new things have come. I guess I was a believer for maybe about 15 years. And I came to a point in my life where I said, you know, I talked to Rob about it. Rob, our pastor, I said, Rob, I mean, things have been going haywire. You know, it doesn't seem like things are going the way they should. You know, I'm being buffeted. I'm being challenged in so many different ways. You know, it's difficult. And he said, John, maybe the Lord's trying to show you something. I'm like, what do you mean? What is it? I just want to know, Lord, show me. What is it? What is this? And then I visited Chuck Solomon down there in Tennessee and went to a Exchange Life conference. He's written a book. It's called A Handbook to Happiness. Like I mentioned many times, it took me maybe a week to read it and about a year to really get it, understand it. And it explains the spirit-filled life, okay? Christ-centered living. And, you know, I think a lot of people might be afraid of that, not knowing what to expect. But I could tell you that it's a life of abundance. And he promises us abundance in many ways, okay? In all different areas, abundance. Now, the verse 17 where it says, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, we're new creatures. Old things are passed away, and behold, all things are made new. That's good news, everybody. I just want to let you know, that is very good news, okay? Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are made new. Now, it didn't hit me like a rock because things I saw started to change. They started to change in my life. But, I came to the realization at that time that everything has changed. Maybe the physical hasn't changed, okay? But, internally it's changed. You know, I was given a new spirit. That's what the scripture says. We're given a new spirit and we're given a new nature. So, you know, I remember being on a train. I don't know where it was. I'm not sure. I think it was on a shuttle in Atlanta. I'm not sure. But there was a couple sitting across from me. And we started talking. And usually I'll start a conversation by asking them where they're from, where do they live, what type of occupation they may have. You know, do you have any children? Just some general questions and information such as to spark up a conversation. And this couple happened to be ministers. They were pastors, okay? Him and his wife, okay? And I said to them, and I had just newly gotten this information and was exchanged, okay? And I had been saved 15 years, like I said, but I started to understand this whole thing about being exchanged. And I asked them, I said, now, do you know that when we receive Christ, we're given the Spirit. But at some point in our lives, we acknowledge and understand the exchange and what happens, okay? And I said, what happens at that point is, and that what happened to me was I had an understanding. And it was very comforting, very fulfilling that not only do I have a new life in Christ in present, but I also have a new future. And if any Christian would tell you that they say, well, if they become a Christian, yes, they have a new future, right? We have a new future in Christ eternally. Okay, that's salvation. But I also let them know that I have a new past. And they looked at me very funny. And I said, yeah, we have a new past. And that past is gone. In other words, it's under the blood of Christ. God doesn't see that anymore. We have a new past. And we should be elated by that. Now, we know that all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Okay? So every one of us, every piece of flesh on this earth has some sin in their life, okay? Some sin more than others, okay, whatever, but we all have sin. But to know that our past is completely wiped clean, that's phenomenal. That's salvation. And anybody here that's listening to, that's within the sound of my voice, either through Facebook or Zoom or in person, can realize that as well. They can realize that they can become a new creature in Christ. Now, you're not going to change. You're not going to drop 30 pounds right away or whatever. Now, that may not change. It may get worse, okay? It probably will because our bodies are decaying, right? But spiritually, inwardly, we change. And we start to commune with Christ and God. And now Christ is our advocate for God or with God for us, okay? So I explained this to them, that we have a new past, present, and future, okay? We're given, I explained this to them, that we're given a new spirit. The old spirit is not there anymore. Okay, we're given a new life. We're given new life in Christ. We're given a new spirit, and that's phenomenal. Again, those things have passed away. Those are forgotten. As far as the scripture says, as far as the east is from the west. How far is the east from the west? It's infinite, okay? He forgives us fully. As far as the east is from the west, any of our transgressions, sins, any thoughts, anything, forgiven fully. That's good news. Salvation. That's good news. Verse 18 goes on to say, now all these things are from God, who reconciled us to him through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation. Now we have that ministry of reconciliation. Okay? We are ambassadors and we have a ministry of reconciliation. What does that mean? It means that we have the power within us to be able to help people change their lives, okay? Their past, their present, and their future. That is good news, okay? We have the ability to be able to convey that message to people so that they may understand and receive Christ and then get a new past, present, and future. So we are ambassadors, we're ministers of reconciliation. Verse 19 says, namely, that God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against him, and he has committed to us the word of reconciliation. So it says here that God does not count our transgressions against us any longer. Good news. I like good news. And I hope that's an encouragement to all of you. That's good news. We can go on with a smile. Good news, you're new in Christ. Verse 20, our key verse here says that, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were making an appeal through us. We beg you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. 21, he made him who knew no sin, that's Jesus Christ, to be sin on our behalf, so that we might become the righteousness of God in him. That's the gospel of salvation, that God made Christ to be our sin. He took on our sin, okay? You know, if an individual was in jail and somebody came in and said, look, you're released, not even on parole, you're fully forgiven, you're out of here, I'm going to take your penalty for the crimes you committed. That's what Christ did for us, okay? That's what he did for us. That's the good news, the message of salvation. So, upon belief in Christ, who he is and what he did, he allows us to become these new creatures in Christ. The salvation message. 1 Peter 2:24 says, and he himself bore our sins, that's Christ, in his body on the cross, so that we might die to sin and live to righteousness, for by his wounds we are healed. That scripture talks about Christ taking on the sins of the world, our sins upon himself when he died on the cross. See, somebody had to pay the penalty for sin and wrongdoing, okay, trespasses. Somebody had to pay that penalty, and it was going to be us. But since Christ died for us and we received that, what he did, who he is and what he did, we become a Christian. We're saved, okay? We're in God's family. We're adopted into his family. That's good news. Now, John 1:1 and John 1:14 talks about exactly who Christ is. Got to know who Christ is and then what he did. If John 1:1 states that in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. This Word was in the beginning, and this Word was God. Not is a God, was God. That's proper translation. So this Word was God. 1:14 states that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the only begotten of the Father. So that Word, who was there in the beginning, who was there during creation and within creation, was there in the beginning with God, Jesus Christ. He became flesh and dwelt among us. And that is who Jesus Christ is. Jesus Christ is God in the flesh, okay? He's manifested through Jesus Christ, and he was in the flesh, okay? God is a spirit, and the third part of the Trinity is the Holy Spirit, who indwells us as our guarantor, okay? He gives us the Holy Spirit who indwells us. We can live by the Spirit, not by the flesh. We can walk by faith and not by sight. And that's the way that we should be conducting our lives as Christians. So he allows us to become new creatures, like I said, in Christ. We are made new and old things are passed away again. Everything has become new. We are born with a new spirit. We're given a new spirit. We don't have the old spirit. Like somebody once said, you can't be half pregnant, okay? You're not going to have two spirits. You're going to have the Holy Spirit, and you're going to be indwelt by God, or not have his spirit. Not having his spirit and not being a Christian, in the book of Ephesians, it talks about us being enmity with God. And, you know, a lot of these verses just popped out at me after I understood my relationship with God and that exchange life, what actually happened. It just kind of opened a whole new window for me. You know, I lived my first 15 years as a Christian struggling, trying to do. Well, it's not about doing, it's about being, okay? That's what we preach here. It's about being, not doing. And once I understood my relationship with God, and after 15 years, I stopped struggling and just let it, you know, they have that saying, let go and let God. Well, that's kind of it, okay? I'm letting God rule my life, okay? And it says prior to that, I was at enmity with God. That's a powerful statement. Enmity, we were at war. I was at war with God before becoming a Christian. You know, I didn't have the Spirit of God in me, okay? Now, I've been a believer probably for 35 plus years, I don't know, 38, maybe 1980s, early 80s. And prior to that, though, I was still struggling. We were struggling and fighting against God. We were at enmity with God. Once I received Christ and accepted Christ, who he is and what he did, and became a Christian, I wasn't dwelt by the Spirit. But those big changes didn't take place, I don't believe, for about 15 years until I realized what that meant, you know, as far as my life being exchanged, okay? Galatians 2:20 says that, I can't remember the verse now, I don't have it written down, but it'll come to me. That's a verse that we hold dearly. So, this is all good news. We have a new spirit, okay? We're made new, and we have eternal life, okay? I have some writing here. Oh, Titus 3:5 says that he saved us not by the works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy. That's how we were saved. It's all about Christ saving us. It's not anything we do. We can't do it by works. You know, it's not by works at all. For by grace we've been saved through faith. It's not a of works. It's a free gift of God. Okay. So, by the washing of regeneration and renewing of His Holy Spirit, so He washes us, He cleans us, okay? We're made new, okay? So now, we as believers are now ambassadors to share that good news with others and have the ministry of reconciliation. So we can share that good news with others that you can have a new life in Christ, okay? Old things have passed away. All things can be made new. We advocate on behalf of God, bringing those that are at enmity with God to Him. We're adopted into God's family once we believe, okay? We're in His family. We're at the top of the ladder here, okay? We're with God. It says that we're seated at the right hand with the Father on high, with the Son on high. So we are spiritually made new, okay? And the Spirit is what is here, as the song says, for 10,000 upon 10,000 years, okay? Our lives are a vapor. They appear for a short time and vanish away, you know, our fleshly beings, our body. But our spirit goes on to live forever, okay? And that's the need for people. That's what people need. People need that new life, that salvation in Christ. So ambassadorship is an awesome privilege that we have in the kingdom of God. Wouldn't you say so? It's really a privilege. When I first read that, I remember reading that, and it just popped out at me. I said, wait a minute. Wow, we're ambassadors for God. That really hit me. We're ambassadors for God. What a privilege it is. So we're God's official representatives. We're speaking on God's behalf. Okay, we're His representative. What a privilege it is and an honor. Okay, so I just wanted to encourage you with that message that you're an ambassador. If you're a believer, if you're not a believer, you can pray right now to receive Christ. If you are a believer, you know that you are an ambassador and you have the ministry of reconciliation. Whether you know it or not, you have that ministry of reconciliation. That's your ministry, the ministry of reconciliation, advocating for God through Christ Jesus. So I hope the message was encouraging for you. I'm going to end it with prayer. Thank you. Thank you, dear God, for this opportunity to share your word. I pray, Lord, for those that may not know who you are, may not be saved, that they might right now receive you, understand who you are, what you did for them, that you took all their trespasses, all their sins upon the cross, and you're reaching out and calling for them. Today is the day of salvation. That's what the scripture says. So today might be your day. Lord, I just pray for those individuals, open their hearts, open the minds of their heart, as Paul prayed, so that they might understand this and receive you freely. I pray for those believers here that this would hit home and have everyone understand that we are ambassadors, that we are ministers of reconciliation, and we advocate on behalf of God through Christ. And we advocate and share the good news that anyone can know Christ, can have a new spirit, and be made new in Christ. And I just thank you for today. And all the people said, amen. Thank you.